Denise, they might need you. Thank you. We need an enforcer, and Denise told me she's the enforcer. I hope you didn't come expecting a sort of a somber service this morning. We don't do that very well here. There's a reading I want to bring to you from the Old Testament. It's a few thousand years old. And to put it into a context, hang on, I'll just wait till the running interference has stopped running. There it goes. I think everybody knows the story of Israel, don't they? Everybody knows the story of how they were slaves in Egypt. And everybody knows the story of how God sent Moses to them, and Moses went and talked to Pharaoh, and eventually, after all sorts of interesting things happened, totally misrepresented by that wonderful movie starring Charlton Heston. But God got them out of their slavery, and they went out into the desert, and for 40 years they're wandering in the desert trying to figure out who on earth they are as a people. And eventually, after all this time, they actually have some sense of who they are and who God is, so that there's some cohesion. And then in the book of Deuteronomy, they're wanting to remind people about these kind of things. And in the book of Deuteronomy, there's all sorts of statutes and laws about what it is that helps people to live together in a way that God can bless. And in chapter 6, there's this little spot where it says, when your children ask you, in time to come, what's the meaning of the decrees and the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord our God has commanded you? And then you'll say to your children, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord displayed before our eyes great and awesome signs and wonders against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household. And he brought us out from there in order to bring us in to give us the land that he promised on oath to our ancestors. And then the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our lasting good, so as to keep us alive, as is now the case. And if we diligently observe this entire commandment before God, as he's commanded us, then we will be in the right. Or to put it into my language, things will be okay. Some of you know that I've been having guitar lessons, teaching me how to do the strumming different and how to do the finger picking different. And this bloke, he's throwing at me songs from Pink Floyd and Passenger and George Ezra. And at my daughter's request the other day, I learnt a Fleetwood Mac song. Because my daughter in Australia, she says, Dad, I love Fleetwood Mac. Would you? Yeah, all right. So I say to Dave, you got any Fleetwood Mac ones in there? And he says, yep. And he says, it'll go right along with what you're learning at the moment. So Fleetwood Mac is now in the frame. Do you know how hard it is to practice up a song until you get it right? Who's a musician here? They've got a few. Do Do you know how hard it is to get it right? And how you have to practice it and practice it and practice it, particularly when for 50 odd years your brain has run along certain patterns and you're having to teach it to go along a different pattern. It's like trying to get those old records, those old vinyls, when you've got a groove in the wrong place and make it go the right way. You know the sort of problem? I'm wanting to learn some new songs and I'm wanting to sound good. And they're going to in 10 or 12 years. It's hard to learn new songs. It takes time with the music, getting it into your head so that when you actually stand up, like with that last song, no wrong chords because I know the song really well. It just goes exactly where it's supposed to go. The old tracks are well worn and the harmony comes out pretty good. And Mike even knows that I'm actually going to play the chords that he thinks I'm going to play. Was that right, Mike? Yeah. Israel knew that God had done amazing things for them. God had brought them out of this terrible situation where they were being brutalized by the Egyptians. And God brought them out of the slavery. You do know the story, don't you, in bits and pieces, if not too well. And then for 40 years they wander in the wilderness and they work out who they're going to be. And then Israel said, let's not lose this. So they put together some regulations and things to help them remember. And they had a structure for teaching their children. Now, I wonder what kind of tunes, what kind of songs, I wonder what kind of dance you teach your children. Because psychology would tell us that most of us teach our children the sort of rhythms and the steps that we learned growing up with our parents. And it's very hard to break out of those old grooves. Some of you will have said, there's no way in the world I'm going to do what my parents did to me, to my kids. And you've made a very determined effort to break out of the grooves, right? It will have happened with some of you here. You come for a blessing with a little baby. You're asking God to bless the child. But how can a blessing work? I'm not having a go at you two here because I think you're being great parents. But how does a blessing work if you're not dancing to the same tune that God is, if you follow me? So if your life's going in one direction, you ask God for a blessing, and God's direction is this is the way you live, but you don't do it, and then you say, why didn't God bless me? We need to be learning new tunes when we come and ask for a blessing for our children. Otherwise, the blessing can just be a nice set of words and a pleasant ceremony. Now, when Jesus came into this world, he could see that people were dancing to the wrong tune. And it's easy to dance to the wrong tune. This stuff that happened up in Manchester, those guys are dancing to a tune of hate. They filled their headset with this image that somehow or other blowing up kids is a good thing to do because hatred is born of it. The horrible thing is that whenever something like that happens, that tune is so loud that other people dance to it. And you would have read in the news in the last couple of days, am I not right, that there has been a massive increase in racial hate crime in Manchester since those stupid idiots blew up those kids. Is that not true? Because people dance to the tunes that they hear the loudest. And Jesus walked into a world that was full of brutality and full of people. Well, I mean, he was living in an occupied country, and you know what happens in an occupied country, don't you? The soldiers are brutal, the resistance is brutal, there's hatred and suspicion everywhere. And Jesus walked into that tune and he said, I've got a different tune for you to play. And he tried to teach his disciples that different tune. And he said, this different tune is going to be like leaven in a lump of bread. It's going to be like a little seed planted in the ground that spreads up into a massive great oak tree. And people and creatures will shelter in it, and people will sit under its shade, and it'll be beautiful and huge. It's going to be like a light put up in a dark room, and it's going to flood the room. A different sort of tune. When you come for a blessing, you're asking from God a blessing, but God doesn't sing the same tune we do. And when you come for a blessing, in a way, I think you're inviting God to help you to know what tune to dance to. In Christian faith, we try to dance to the right tune. We try to dance to a tune that says, the love of God is stronger than the hatred that we see around us. That even if you die doing it, it's still worth it because there's resurrection. That grace is going to overcome your bumbles and inconsistencies, and God will help you through it. You know, and you will make them as parents. Cool, I made a few. My kids still love me. I'm terribly grateful for grace. But think about what Israel did. When your kids ask you, this is what you say. If ever your kids ask you, what was that about? Will you really understand it? Do you know what sort of stories you tell to your kids that help them to shape the sort of tunes they dance to? Has Jesus got anything to do with that? And the idea that he had that maybe these things that he said could change the world and shift people to dance to a different tune? When your kids ask you, what sort of answers do you give them? Do you have one that's ready? Do you understand what it's about? And what sort of tunes are you teaching your children to dance to? It's terribly important. Here today, you're asking God to be involved in your children and their lives so that they don't dance to the tune of hate. And so as parents, God's going to be there helping you to teach the kids good tunes to dance to that'll discover everything that they've been created to be, especially this little beautiful girl. So, let's pray for them, shall we? Lord, as we come towards this time of blessing, we pray for it to be something a lot more than just a ceremony. Pray that this little girl learn to dance to a tune that'll bring joy and hope and life wherever she goes. We pray for a mum and dad that they'll be able to dance to a tune that gives her stability and strength and courage and a sense of who she is and where she's come from. And we pray that we too can dance to a good tune, because there's plenty of bad tunes around us. Help us to get the chords right, Lord. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.